The president referred in his speech today to the Euro-Atlantic family. Well, that family's been pretty dysfunctional lately, and many in Europe were listening closely to the president's words to see how far he'd go to mend the rifts and embrace the idea of European Union. John Micklethwaite writes about U.S.-European relations for The Economist magazine. He joins us from London. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
John, what were the expectations for this speech, do you think? What exactly were European observers hoping to hear today?
Well, you used the metaphor of a family, and I think it's fair to say that one half of the family was rather sort of worried about what the other one would say. And I think on the whole they were fairly happy with what Bush had to say, particularly I think continental Europeans who were looking for the idea that Bush would give some degree of approval for the idea of the European Union rather than trying to treat all the different members of the European Union by themselves individually.
There's been a lot of talk over the last few years about this division between old and new Europe. We heard it in the run-up to the Iraq War. Does that seem to be a thing of the past, do you think?
It's obviously not a thing of the past. I think there was a slight move by Bush this time, and it's difficult to exaggerate the way that Europeans study American foreign policy in much the same way as they used to study the Kremlin. There's a degree of Kremlinology about this, where every tiny word that Bush utters about the European Union, they're trying to work out to what degree is he moving to sort of Eurocentric view of Europe as opposed to individual nations. But there has been a slight move in that direction, and I think it matters quite a lot to conservative America as well, where there are certainly divisions about this. There are a lot of people on the right in America who don't like the idea of having to go through Brussels, would much rather deal with individual countries, particularly Britain, and particularly those members of New Europe.
How much is the shadow of the Iraq War hanging over these talks?
It does hang over them. I mean, we saw today the announcement that the Europeans are now prepared to send a sort of very small help force to Baghdad, but all the same, it sits there. It's very, very difficult for continental Europeans, very, very difficult for Jacques Chirac and Gerhard Schroeder, even if they were to like Mr. Bush individually, which I somehow doubt, even if they were felt very warm towards him, it's very difficult for them to send people there because, firstly, anything that is seen to be helping Bush is unpopular with their electorates, and secondly, anything which is seen to be sending people to Iraq is also unpopular with their electorates. So there's very little room for them to maneuver.
At the same time, there was this language from the president today alluding to the conflict and the tensions before the war in Iraq. No temporary debate, no passing disagreement of governments will ever divide us. Is that a sentiment shared, do you think, by the European leaders?
I think in the short term it is. I think there is an element whereby they realize they have to get on better together than they did before. Is that the same people who spent most of last year desperately hoping that John Kerry would win are now relatively happy showing that old Gallic shrug to get on with Bush and to try and do deals with him.
Is there a different dynamic now that this is President Bush's second term?
I think there is. I think a lot of Europeans swallowed what might be described as the Michael Moore version of history before the previous election, that Bush somehow was a sort of Texan interloper who'd come in, stolen an election, and wasn't really properly America's president. Now it's very obvious that Bush actually represents something rather more fundamental about America, for better or worse.
Well, if you look at the rifts that remain, what would you say the most significant ones are?
There are all sorts of rifts under the surface. One is Iran, where there's still basically a fairly kind of big division between what the Americans say in public about their trust in the Europeans being able to negotiate with the Iranians and what they say in private about their doubts about the Europeans being tough enough. But I think the big issue gradually emerging out there is actually going to be China. China is developing at this moment in a rather bad way from the point of view of the transatlantic relationship. The Europeans want to lift the arms embargo in order to sell more arms and more technology to China. Congress and the White House are adamant that they should not. And that, I think, is just beginning to really move to the sort of type of crisis that we saw earlier over things like Iraq. There is very, very strong sentiment in Congress in particular that this should not go. On the other hand, there's a lot of commercial pressure in Europe for these ties to be lifted, and it's notable that the British, for instance, are talking about the need to do more trade with China. So that, I think, could be a coming row of large dimensions.
This trip by the president is seen as a fence mending mission. How closely mended would you say those fences are now?
I think they are beginning to mend a little. I mean, there's some element whereby the fences were never as completely shattered as everyone made out. There's still a lot of cooperation on things like defence, on things like trade. But the mere fact that Bush has come across here, in particular actually the visit of Condoleezza Rice a week ago, that went down very well over here. On the other hand, there are very, very deep divisions between Europe and America, and they're not just to do with policy. I think they're to do with things like values and attitudes, and those take a much, much longer time to fix.
John Micklethwaite is an editor for The Economist magazine in London. Mr. Micklethwaite, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.